saw, you will see that Bereshit generally has Mefarshim upon Mefarshim upon Mefarshim. Ki'ilu Chazal, don't know what Bereshit means. The Or Chaim has 22 Pirushim on the word Bereshit. Bereshit Bara Elokim. Rashi, who generally shares with us the Pshat and the Drash, and the Ramban, the Sforno, the Rishbam, the Balaturim, the Ben Ezra, all have each their own Pirushim on Bereshit. Generally, when we don't know what the Hebrew means, and we're looking to translate it from Aramaic, what's Aramaic? You will see and you will notice. Unklus has one Pirush of Bereshit. Bekadmin Bara, Batchila, in the beginning. Yonatan ben Uziel has a different type of Pirush. Minula, Me'atchala. The Yerushalmi has a different type of translation. Bechokhmata. The Ben Ishchai writes that the Zohar has 70 tikkunim on what the word Bereshit means. Pirush after Pirush after Pirush. One word. And it's the first word of the Sefer Torah. So today's discussion is going to be about Bereshit, but it really is going to be about Reshit. Gentlemen, what is Reshit? Gentlemen, what is Reshit? It's not the yeshiva that's located in Beit Shemesh. It is actually a very important lesson, or maybe a very important experience that you need to have as a Jew. It means in the beginning. Rav Meislish writes in his Sefer Sichot Avodat Hashem, he writes that over the years there's a decline in generation. It's called Yeridat HaDorot. If you look at the generations that are before us, and you look at the greatness of Chazal before us, you cannot really compare between where they were and where we are. As a matter of fact, he quotes Masechta Shabbos. Chazal say there, "Im Rishonim kamalachim." If the Rishonim are like angels, "Anu kibnei Adam." Chazal speaking about themselves. So if Chazal are like bnei Adam, what are we? Who are we? How do we compare ourselves? Ask Rav Meislish the following question. It doesn't make sense. You open up the Sefer Bereshit, you open it up. It doesn't make sense. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef. It doesn't make sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu piles on the greatest of the greatest, all the way in Bereshit. If you look it up on our history, Moshe, David HaMelech, all the great personalities that we've ever had, they were there. Why are we here? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide that instead of putting everybody in the beginning of time, as it were, why not split it up a little bit? I don't know if you've noticed, we live in a world of chaos. There's this trend, there's that trend, this sect, politically, economically. Imagine if an Avram Avinu was going to be in our generation, we live in our generation. An Avram Avinu who was able to be Mikar of his own generation at that time. Imagine what that would be. Would there even be a question about getting up from Minyan? Would there even be a question about keeping one day or 2 days? Would there even be a question about what the mitzvah Hasad Orchin is? Imagine an Avram Avinu. Politically, what it means to Eretz Yisrael. The greatness of one person. When we have this type of chassidim and that type of chassidim and that type of svar, imagine one Avram Avinu, everyone we together, imagine it. Instead, no. Instead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to put all the jewels, all the amazing, the greatest, up there, the top generations. Rav Meislish gives an answer as to why. And he says, in order to understand why Kadosh Baruch Hu's strategy was to put all the greatness on the top, in order to understand this, you have to understand what it means to build something. Says Rav Meislish, imagine if you're going to build a massive structure, much bigger than this campus. Massive! What you will need to do first is you will need to create a foundation that is so strong and so big that it can hold the structure. And really, that was the strategy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bereshit bara Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to create the world. And what he needed to do was to create a foundation, to create some sort of a foundation that would hold up the entire world. Says the Rim the following.
Uvekach yeh koach l'chlal Yisrael la'chzik b'ma'adam l'mrod kol ha'tzarot sh'avru aleihem.
The Chiddush Arim says, Shakadish Baruch Hu megein ad hayom al or ha'emunah shenata Avraham Avinu alav shalom. You know why we're alive today? You know why we're existing today? It's true. We have this gula of the tzaddikim of our generation. It's true. Says the Chiddush Arim, it's because of Avraham Avinu. It's because of Yitzchak, because of Yaakov, because everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu created there, because then represented the reshit, the beginning of time. And things that are done in the beginning, they usually have a long-lasting effect to the middle and to the end. That was his answer.
If that's the case, I took the time to Google last night, what do successful people generally do in the beginning? Apple CEO Tim Cook wakes up at 3:45 a.m. every morning to go through his email, to exercise, and to grab a coffee. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is already in the gym by 4 a.m. Pepsi Coca-Cola CEO Indra Nooyi gets up at 4 a.m. Starbucks Executive Director Howard Schultz, 4:30. Jack Dorsey, CEO of Twitter, 5 a.m. LinkedIn CEO Jeff Weiner, 5:30. And the list goes on and on and on and on. People are making millions and millions of dollars. People are so famous. I even don't have these names.
I figured, what? We're yeshiva? I'm gonna read you now a list. So what about the most successful personalities that we have? Pinkus writes, if you want to know what the most successful personalities in our Jewish world, what they do, you first have to understand what is the first thing that they say. Gentlemen, Pinkus writes that when we wake up in the morning, we wake up as a rebirth. Because people who are dead generally don't grieve. There's no heart rate or pulse, and there's no movement. And they can very easily be compared to us when we are sleeping. Because when we are sleeping, our breathing is decreased, our heart rate and our pulse is lowered, and for the most of us, there's no movement. Right, Sir Pinkus? We are almost like we are dead, and then we wake up. And what do Chazal tell us? What did he charge us with? You wake up in the morning, you say, and notice that the first word is modem. You wake up in the morning, the first thing that a Jew is supposed to say, he's not supposed to say, Ani. He's not supposed to say, hey, it's me! It's me! It's Joe! It's David! It's Max! It's not, I'm just saying, it's not saying. It's Josh! You don't have to do that. The first thing you say to Joe is, not Joe. The first thing you say to Jew, modem. Modem Ani. You wake up in the morning, you're feeling like that ache, and whatever you did, am I feeling well? Am I not feeling like I have to feel well? What excuse can you give me when you come to the room, that scratchy situation? The first thing you do when you get in touch with your physical body, you say Odin. You right away connect with the Baruch Hu. Modi Ani Lefanecha is the first thing you do. He quotes, I'm quoting from his sefer. Katav, sorry, the sefer Keter Rosh, Huvami Rabbi Chaim of Elojin, Shamar. Listen to this amazing insight.
Shekfi tzurat kimat ha'adam b'boker. The way you wake up in the morning, b'achlatato b'oto sha'al kabel al atzmo b'meshach hayom. And when you wake up in the morning and you decide in the morning what you're going to do that day, what kind of day you're going to have. Am I going to go to Midian or not? Am I going to have a productive seder or not? Am I going to leave my chavrusa or am I not? Am I going to take off that morning, that first 5 minutes, the first 5 seconds? If you do that, kach yizakeru kodesh baruch hu la'avod et boro b'meshach kol oto yom. You have a siyata mishmaya. You make a decision in the morning, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help you for the rest of the day. And it's a Gemara. And the Gemara says in Makos, "Bederach she'adam rotzei lelech ba molechin oto." The way that you decide to walk, the way that you decide to act, the way you decide to behave, you decide. And if you decide it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make it meet. And the first word is Modeani. Why? Because it's Reshit. It's the beginning of time. It's the beginning of your day. When you have something in the beginning of something, there's a certain Siyata Dishmaya. There's a certain Sgula. You can speak to any Shana Bet kid here. And you can ask them. And some of the Shana kids concerning the Rebbein. When you wake up in the morning, and you have in mind that this is going to be a productive day, and you see your mother in Ani, and you feel Siddai, and you go to shul, and you're feeling productive, wow! You have an awesome day. You have an awesome day. When you wake up in the morning, and you're like, scratchy. And you're only thinking about that, scratchy. When you think like that, then you know what's going to happen? You're going to have this scratchy situation. I read you a list of the top CEOs. I want to read you, I'm not going to read it, I'll tell you on the outside, a quick thing of Rav Eliyahu Lapian. Rav Eliyahu Lapian, Zichrono Tzadik Livracha, was known for waking up very early in the morning. As a matter of fact, even in his older age, he would wake up so early, says Talmidim would ask him, Rebbe, why? You can catch a 6 o'clock minion. Why do you have to get up at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning? You don't need it. Says Rav Lapian, I'm reading it and then translating it to you. Says Rav Lapian, D'lechar p'tirat ha'adam k'sheba l'olam ha'liyon l'tet din l'cheshbon. After 120, when we go to Gan Eden and we sit in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to evaluate, to talk business. What do you do in this world? Shu'alin oto ha'im kiyem et ha'torah mitzvoteh. They'll ask you, were you a good Jew? Were you a mekayim the Torah? Did you do the mitzvos? U'mistama. And what's he going to do? What's he going to say to the Jew? Yani adam hen. Yeah, he'll say yes. So you know what's going to happen afterwards? Az yavu arba chalke shulchan aruch. They're going to drop on the table all those books that Rav Blasky generally brings to the over there in the bank, somebody speaks. But it's going to be Shulchan Aruch. And they're going to put it right on the table so you can see it. And then, Yavru Alehem Sif Achar Sif, they're going to open it up and they're going to go the first halacha to the second halacha. And they're going to ask him, did you do this halacha? Did you do that halacha? And what's the first seif of Shulchan Aruch? Were you mikayim? Yidgaber ka'ari la'amod b'boker la'avod boro. Did you wake up in the morning? Did you wake up like a lion in the morning to do what? To serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Did you wake up? Or are you still sleeping because it's 1:50 in the afternoon and you haven't woken up yet? You can come in. They're going to ask him, did you wake up like a lion? Says the Lapian, imagine the embarrassment of a person. He's going to sit there. And they're going to open up the Shulchan Aruch. The first thing they say to him is, did you do this one? The first one?
says, he looks at it and says, no. I had a scratchy scratch. Imagine the embarrassment. If you can't even overcome the first thief of Shulchan Aruch, what's going to do with the rest of them? And that's why there's a skula. That's why there's a skula. That if you can overcome the first thief, if you can battle your Yetzer Tov against your Yetzer Hara just in the morning, your Yetzer Tov is going to be flying. That's a skula, I guarantee it. And you don't have to be Sephardic to believe it. Writes the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai writes that in the world of Kabbalah, a man once visited the house of the Satan. By the way, you have to understand this world in order to understand the story about today. A Jew once visited the house of the Satan. The Satan is in front of his house. He sees a Jew and he welcomes him in. And he says, do you want to see the kelim, the tools, the weapons that I have? And the Jew says, yes. Opens up the Satan the door to his home. He opens it up. And there are two items in his entire house. On the right side, the Ben Ish Chai writes, is a massive, massive fan. On the left side is a cozy, cozy wool blanket. This guy is looking around and he's saying, that's it. That's it? That's all you have is two things? Says the Satan to this Jew, that's all I need. Because in the summer months, I go to every single Jew, whether they have AC, or whether the timer is up. I go to every single Jew and I take my fan and I ever so slowly fan them so they feel refreshed and they feel cozy and they feel cool. And if I get them not to wake up, I got them. And what about the real? So that's the time. And in the winter months, that's the Ben Ish Chai. I was once aware of Ifra's beautiful sicha on Elisha ben Avua, which I hope he gives again. I'm not going to get into all the details of this amazing, great Talmud. Tremendous, tremendous Hamachacha. Out of the personalities in Gemara, I think he's one of four personalities that was able to go through the Pardes. Whatever that means, but it basically means that you have a certain shchina, you can get close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's massive. The holy of the holies. Yet the Gemara tells us Elisha ben Avua became Acher. He didn't become Elisha. He became Acher. You know what Acher means in Hebrew? The other one. Because when he went off the derech, that was so bad. The Chazal tell us that Elisha ben Avua did not even have an opportunity to do tshuva. Tosfos tells us why. Amazing, amazing story. When Elisha ben Avua was born, his parents checked and he was a boy. Just making sure you're paying attention. You're with me. We're good. And as you know, every boy gets prayer. verses 8 days later, his father, Abraham, making out this big party. This is it. Beautiful. Like in the crusade, we have bagels on the back, bringing everybody in. This community, big party, bris. Elisha's boy, they didn't know the name yet. And he put all of his guests in one side, one tent, and he put the Rebbeim in a different tent, close by. And he's mingling together with the guests. He smells smoke, he smells fire. And he looks outside, and what does he see? He sees fire on the Rebbeim. And he runs over and he tells him, "What are you doing? You're going to burn everything up?" And the Rebbeim says, "No, we're learning Torah. And this is the covenant of Torah. There's a fire from Kol Shivah who comes in and gives you kavod. The potential of what can be." Says Avuah, the father of Elisha. Wow! If this is what Torah is all about, wow! I'm going to let my son go to Shana Bet. Shana Gimel.
I want my son to study Torah. That's what he says.
Says the Tosfos, his first act before the bris, because it was done, lo lishma, the first act, the mindset, it was the lo lishma, the reishki, the beginning of this great personality. What could have been was quickly transferred to what was. And he didn't become the greatest Elisha ben Avuah that there ever was. He became an acher. That one. The other one. The first act, the beginning. I was in Hebron this past Shabbos. Amazing, beautiful. We'll have a chance as a yeshiva to go to Hebron. Marad Machpelah, our forefathers and foremothers, are buried there. Beautiful, amazing. So much inspiration. You know, when Yaakov Avinu was about to be married to Rachel, there was a little bit of a fight. Because Esau held everybody back. Everybody's coming, taking Yaakov Avinu to be married. And they said, hold up! You have the deed? You have the contract? Burial thing? And Chushi Medan, he sees that there's a problem in the beginning and he runs off and he's asking, what's going on? He's like, oh, Esau, you see the guy Esau? He can just go back, he can eat whatever it is. You know what he does? He takes an axe, bam! Esau's head rolls away. Yaakov's there.
Nice story, huh?
It wasn't exactly like that, but give you the dramatic version. What were they fighting about? What was the discussion? And why pushing them down? There were no other kids there? Nobody else could have picked up an act? Nobody else could have done something? Chazal teaches, you know what they were fighting about? What they've been fighting about their entire lives. They were fighting about Reishit. The Koach of coming first. Or being in the Chor. Reishit, that's what they're fighting about. The Koach of being Maran Machpelah. Or being part of the forefathers, those individuals or personalities. The Reishit. Why pushing them down? Because pushing them down didn't get bottled down with the descriptions. He saw something wasn't good and he knew he needed a response. And he just got up and did it. He did it right away. And because of that, we have Reishit. I think that the concept of Reishit, of doing something, is important, is critical for a Jew. But I offer you the following suggestion. That Reishit does not just apply to the beginning of our day. Gentlemen, today was Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh. What other culture do you know that celebrates Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of every month? What other culture does that? What other religion does that? Every single month. Because it's a Reishit. It's a rebirth. It's an opportunity for another change. That's why. Because of Rosh Chodesh, we have the ability to schedule the rest of the months, the rest of the holidays, the rest of the year. That's why it's so important. We are who we are. We are Jews, practicing Jews because of Rosh Chodesh. Shana of a non-Jew. And all you have to do is wait to see the following day how to behave. Because the Rosh Hashanah of a non-Jew had to behave the following day. They need a lot of coffee. What about Rosh Hashanah of a Jew? How does a Jew take in Rosh Hashanah? The Jew takes in Rosh Hashanah by the Imam of the Shbar. It's a spiritual connection to the Shbar. It's about what's going to be for the year to come, the trepidation, the fears, the tefillah. We can't even talk. We have a shofar blowing for us. That's a Rosh Hashanah. That's a connection. Gentlemen, Reishit is not only during the day. Reishit is not only during the month. It's not only during the year. Reishit is every single week. If you count to 10, Echad, Shtayim, Shalosh, Arba. And we even count the days of the week. Ayom Yom Shlishi, Ayom Yom Ravi, Ayom Chamishi. So the Ashkenazim among us today. What do you say when it's Sunday? Do you say Ayom Yom Echad? If you've been saying it, your answer is no. What do Ashkenazim say? Ayom Yom Rishon. From the word Reishit. Because the way you start your week is the concept of the mindset of Reishit. If I give it my all in the beginning of the week, I'm going to have an amazing week. It's Reishit. And here's a little secret. Edom, who are the Christians, also wanted to have a Reishit. Because what is their holiday? What is their Sabbath? It's what is it? Sunday. Except for one thing, we have some Ireland. Because the Yom Rishon of a Jew doesn't start on Sunday morning. The Yom Rishon of a Jew starts when? The night before. Our Rishon begins on the Shabbos.
Because Rishon is so important. I'm going to end off on a story.
One of my favorite stories, most of the rabbis know it. I'm going to make it quick, to make this. You see, in Morocco, my father told me this, so in Morocco, my father got invited to the Bar Mitzvah. That's where he was born. And at age 12, he emigrated to Eretz Yisrael. But when he was 6 years old, he got invited to a Bar Mitzvah. My father came to a very poor home. This is the story that he told me. So I can't say it's true now, because he makes things up, but this is the story that he told me. The father says to me, he gets an invitation, not by mail, they didn't have mail, by town. And basically, the entire family is invited. He's invited to his very rich cousin's bar mitzvah. It's in Casablanca, and they're from Marrakesh. And in order to get into Casablanca, to take the train. But to get to the train from the town, the little town that my father came from, you have to like walk, a very long walk. No more taxis to call. This is in the 1940s. So he manipulated my grandparents and whatever. So they decided to find him. Let one representative go. And he was 6, 7 years old at the time. And he took a little bag that had maybe an extra shirt with him, because that's what he had. And he walks and walks and walks, and he gets to the train station. And you can imagine, this is a first, like 6, 7 year old. Okay? He gets to the train station. And he's looking around, and on one side, on the left side, he sees people. They're wearing suits, and they have suitcases, and they're fine, and they're dressed beautifully. And he's thinking to himself, they're not like me. And he looks on the other side, and he sees that there's a bunch of kids, a little bit like him. A little dirty shirt. And he doesn't know what he's supposed to do with his invitation. So he figures, there's no way. And soon enough, he hears the sound of the train. Train comes in. And all these fine-looking people wearing their suits and the suitcase or whatever, so they get on the train. He's about to get on the train, but he notices that all the kids that he saw before, they're not getting on. As a matter of fact, they're not even around. He gets confused. Should he get on? Should he get off? But he doesn't know what to do. And then the train begins to move to the next stop. A And then he sees all the kids kind of get up behind the benches, whatever, and they're starting to run. So he runs with them. And they get on the back part of the stream. So he's with them. And he gets on, and he looks around, and he's like, ugh. Phil, smelly urine. There's luggage all over the place. And everyone's sitting down, and they're throwing things around. So he says that also. And a couple of minutes later, he hears in Arabic. Someone saying in Arabic, tickets, tickets. And the kids all get scared. So one kid, hiding behind this thing, one kid jumps out. And before he decides to know what to do, the door opens up. Shh! And a nice one, that's the story of a bad fucking ass. Man, with a big club in his hand, looks at him straight in the eye. And he says to him, you relate with us. He doesn't say that. He says to him, and he has a massive club in his hand. And my father freezes. He freezes. He doesn't know what to do. And in a moment of frozen trauma, takes up the invitation, shaking his hands, and he knows he's about to get clawed. And he's like, cover for me, fuck! And he, like this. And the policeman grabs the invitation from him. He opens it up. He looks at the invitation. He looks at my father. He looks at the invitation of the club. But then he asks the following question. What are you doing here? Do you know what you have? Do you know what you have in your hands? What are you doing here? And I'm like, let's go. And the policeman sits and says, do you know what you have in your hands? You have a first class thinking on this train. What are you doing here? All the way to that. John. What are you doing here? Torah Shraga, 2019, 2020. What are you doing? You have a first class invitation to be the Rashi of everything, to choose of your day, of your week, of your month. What are you doing? You're sitting in a bed with your throat. What are you doing? You're maximizing your time? Are you taking advantages of opportunities? Are you part of the Tish, the Shabbaton? What are you doing? It's a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives every single one of us. And if you made the wrong decision, guess what? Today is Rosh Chodesh. You can do it anew. You can walk out of here today and say, that's it. I'm going to take advantage of who I am and who it's going to be. Have a great day.
Gentlemen, I want to make one announcement. I would like to read off names. If you are one of those persons that I'm reading,